This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Big Mike Golic joining us. He was on the call last night with Westwood One, Cowboys and the Chargers, and co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network, former mothership employee and friend of the show. Big Mike, good to talk to you, buddy. Let me start with pregame. Skirmish, Donnybrook, altercation. What exactly happened prior to the game between these two teams?
You know, it's one of those things that just a little kindling wood and then it flames a bigger fire. And I have to admit, I do my first hit on the field. I like going down there for pregame. And I actually had some flashback because I was one of those knuckleheads that would do something like that. So I saw the fight start and I started running over, and then I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to get my ass kicked if I go over there. I better not get too close. But, you know, the Rams, they were starting to a few of the players were over there, and that's right where the Cowboys run onto the field. And as they ran on, of course, somebody says a couple words, then some people stop, and then they're jawing at one another. Next thing you know, they're pushing one another. And it never, you know, just like most fights in the NFL, they don't lead to anything really bad. But it got chippy at the end of the half, at the field goal at the end of the half. It got a little chippy again. These teams were playing, you know, both teams were playing to stay within one of their respective division leaders.
The headline from this game should be about which team?
Well, I think it'll be about Dallas. So Dallas got their butts kicked against San Francisco, right? And I think the side of the ball that really took it to heart was the defense, because we knew this Dallas team was going to be led by their defense. And while they only had one sack, it was a Micah Parsons late sack, they had pressure. Their pressure rate was like 47%. It was great. They were getting in the face of Herbert and moving him off his mark. And I think they really took that personal, to where they were considered one of the upper echelon of the NFC. And then after that loss to San Francisco, people are now saying it's San Fran, it's Philly, it's Detroit, you know, and putting Dallas with Seattle and dropping them down a rung. And I don't think they feel they belong there. Unfortunately, they're a little inconsistent, so that might be where they are right now. So I think it was more on them. This Chargers team, Dan, you look at the talent they have, and we just see they just kind of continue to underachieve.
I'm trying to figure that out, because to me, yeah, I think the bigger picture is what's going on with the Chargers. Dallas is a good team. The Chargers should be a good team.
Yes.
Justin Herbert is not a good fourth quarter quarterback. And Brandon Staley, it feels like he's coaching for his job, and we're, you know, 6 weeks into the season.
So here's the interesting thing too, right? Is Staley's side of the ball is defense, and the defense has not been good in the last couple of years for the Chargers. So that's been kind of a surprising thing. You have a quarterback that can air out some incredible stats, but they never seemed to get it going, especially with the running game. And now Herbert had a good record. Now, albeit a small sampling size, he was 3-0 against top five pass defenses. And I think the Cowboys were either 2 or 3 against the pass. And the Cowboys had given up more passing yards from week 1 to week 5. They had given up more and more and more. So I thought, and with Herbert's record against that, they could be had a little bit in the passing game. But you have to give a lot of credit to the Cowboys defense. They stepped up in this, and what I thought was a weekend of great defensive performances, see the Jets and see the Cleveland Browns and other teams as well. But this Charger team has really been an enigma to me, Dan.
And you bring up a great point of, I want to see how many hurries you have, pressures you have, how many times you hit the quarterback. Because you can have a guy get 3 sacks and we go, oh, man, they must have gotten to a quarterback. I don't care as much about that as I do every single play that you're bringing pressure. You're hitting him every single play. Because after a while, you know, the sheer accumulation of that is going to, you know, it's going to bring down Justin Herbert and confidence, and, you know, he's going to see people in the pocket. So I thought that that was so important that Dallas had heat on him all night long.
Yeah, and I mean, it took us until the second half to even mention Michael Parsons' name. I think he was, something was up with him because his body language, it was not good. I don't know if he was under the weather or what, but to your point, and you're right, you look at the Chargers side of it, they had 4 sacks. Morgan Fox had 2 of those sacks. But there wasn't that pressure rate that Dallas had, because it doesn't always have to be a sack if you can get a quarterback off his mark. But these quarterbacks are a lot better nowadays getting off their mark and making throws on the run. But Herbert was just off. I mean, he was throwing behind. He had a Keenan Allen had an out and up that was wide open that would have been 6. And I couldn't believe that Herbert overthrew him the way he did when he was wide open. So your point is well taken. Just 1 sack, and it was late by Micah Parsons, but the constant pressure, that has a cumulative effect on a team.
Where do the Lions stand in the rankings with NFC teams right now?
So I would put them 3rd right now. I'd put them behind San Francisco and Philadelphia, and I'd put Detroit right there. And then Dallas after that. Then you're looking at like Seattle and the Rams in another tier. But I would put Detroit there. I love what's going on. Just, you know, when me and Mike on our show this morning, we talked to Lomas Brown, who was in my draft class in 85. He was number 6 overall. Such a great guy. And he spent his first 10, 11 years in Detroit and really lived the other side of what's going on right now. And he does the radio for them now and just talks about the difference. And it starts with Dan Campbell. They always say you take on the personality of your coach. And I had said, as former players, I'm going to tell you, when he, Dan, first had his first presser and talked about biting kneecaps and how tough they were going to be, if I was a current player on that Detroit team, I'd be going, oh man, training camp is going to be so hard, you know, he's going to hit us and everything. But they have bought in, and when you buy in and then see the wins, you buy in even more. They're a tough team. The offense the last couple of years has put a lot of points on the board. The defense is starting to step up. So, yeah, I have them right there. I mean, and they'll get a shot against, you know, some of these top teams, you know, during the season as well. And their goal, obviously, win the division, which I thought they could do. And then let's see how far they can go in the playoffs. But what a fun team to root for now.
He's Mike Golic, co-host of Gojo and Golic on DraftKings Network. And I'm wondering about this as I'm watching last night. Mike McCarthy doesn't really – I don't get confidence from him. If I'm a Cowboy fan, you know, what happened at the end of the first half, game management, penalties again, the last couple of years, they're up there. You know, it just feels like Groundhog's Day with the Cowboys with Mike McCarthy.
So the word I use, and I used it last night, is inconsistency, right? You see the talent that they have, but you want to see it on a more consistent level. And you're right about the penalties. I mean, and it's not like the Chargers were innocent either. Dallas had 11, the Chargers had 9, 20 penalties. The game was just interrupted and choppy because of that. But there's no consistency with this team. Listen, you have Tony Pollard being the main back. The two games before this, he didn't touch the ball but 8, 9, 10 times. Now, they had a blowout win against New England and a blowout loss against San Francisco, so the running game kind of goes out the window. But last night was a good time to get it rolling again. He averaged 2 yards a carry. I mean, Dak Prescott was the leading rusher thanks to his 18-yard touchdown run, which was a nice ball fake on his part. That's the word I would use, inconsistency with the coach, inconsistency with the quarterback, because Dak was off a bit, but when he was on, man, he was firing darts, and he was moving out of the pocket and running well as well. And when he does that and that defense is on, they can be one of the better teams, but their inconsistencies and then shooting themselves in the foot with penalties, clock management times, those are all things that you can kind of get away with like they did last night in a game. But when you get to one and done in the playoffs, you know, that's going to make you be the done part of it.
Do you think that Robert Kraft could fire Bill Belichick?
No, I think it would be one of those mutual, hey, I don't want to fire you. That's not the way I want to go. What do we think here? If push came to shove and Bill Belichick said, I'm adamant about staying, I think Kraft would have him stay. So I don't think he would fire him. But I think if he wanted him gone, there would be a long conversation about, hey, Bill, you know, do you step away? I want you to do it on your own. I want you to, you know, I want it to look that way. But just flat out fire him, I just don't think so.
Would he allow a GM to come in?
Boy, that's the question. That is absolutely the question, because when you're as successful as that, listen, even if you're not as successful as that, we all think we're making the right decisions and don't want to be demoted in any kind of a way, and that's exactly what it would be. But the days of the head coach being the GM really are a thing of the past. There's just too much to have to keep an eye on. I think it's more very difficult to do. So that would be something that maybe would happen, and I would think they'd almost try and keep it under wraps that it didn't really happen. But that is something, I think, kind of like Jerry Jones when he was making all the decisions, then Steven started making the decisions. One of the you know, ones a while ago, he wanted Johnny Manziel, and they were like, Jerry, no, let's take this guy named Zach Martin, who's a walk-in Hall of Famer. You know, so you start to kind of shift the power of decision-making, and that's something I think they could do. But yeah, everybody's got an ego. You know, and I would imagine Bill has a pretty good size one as well, and he has the rings to prove it. So that might not go over too well, but that's certainly a thought process of something that maybe should happen, because they have not been doing well from free agency to drafting as of late.
If the Jets are playoff eligible 8 weeks from now, and Rodgers is close, do you risk?
Saying that, a lot depends, too, on how Zach Wilson is playing. Let's say Zach is playing how we think Zach is going to play.
Good enough to get them playoff eligible.
Exactly. But Aaron Rodgers would be a much better situation. Yeah, you're taking a risk on re-injury for sure. But, man, how many shots you get at the Golden Goose, right? I mean, they did what the Rams have done, what Tampa Bay has done. You sell your soul, especially the Rams did, to get the title. And the Rams got the title. They did that by signing people to contracts maybe they shouldn't have in Tampa Bay, but they got the title. The Jets are doing this to get the title. So, man, you know, damn everything. You know, throw the guy in there. I know you want him for next year as well, but you have that defense right now. And if he's close enough where you don't think he's going to re-injure, you never know if that's going to happen. And as long as Zach is kind of the mediocre to a little above mediocre for the rest of the year, I don't see why you wouldn't give it a shot. I don't think, Dan, I'll say right now, I don't think there's any way that Aaron Rodgers would be ready to play in the playoffs.
He's certainly given the presentation. That, hey.
You can give the presentation all you want. I mean, you can say, you can stand there and throw a ball on the sidelines because your Achilles is hurt, your shoulder isn't, so you can stand there and throw the ball. And I get modern technology is getting better and better. I do understand that. I would be so hard-pressed to think even in a quick return that he would be ready to go. I just do not see it no matter what he says. Okay, but Aaron says a lot of things.
But why is he doing it? I mean, is it for attention that he's on the sidelines throwing the football?
Listen, Aaron, I think we all know, while I get along with Aaron, I know you get along with Aaron. Aaron does like the headlines, right? Aaron likes to talk, be seen doing football, talk outside of football, like mm-hmm. the little battle he's getting in with Travis about the vaccines. He believes he is a smart guy. He believes he's a very smart guy, and he doesn't mind throwing it out there as well. But I also think he's a guy that does like kind of being seen out there. So that's part of it. And I don't doubt that his presence there helps a guy like Zach Wilson. Yeah. And helps kind of, you know, being on the sidelines, suggesting plays. I do think that could be a huge asset to the team.
Is it good that there's no great teams in the NFL?
Probably. I mean, we go through this a lot, right? Whether it's individual sport and Tiger Woods, do we want to see Tiger dominate or do we want to see him get beat? You know, do you want to see a dynasty in football, the Patriots? You want to see that go away or do you want to see, them carry on? It's a great question. I'm sure if you're, any kind of a Boston fan, you want to see anything like that go on. But other than that, and I think we're getting that in college now as well. Georgia's played a couple of games where they looked like number one. But other than that, it looked like, boy, you'd love that 12-team playoff this year because there's more than a handful of teams you could believe in to do that. So I'm one of those that likes a little more parity, unless, of course, I'm playing, then I want to be the dominant one.
I know you were at the Notre Dame-USC game. Feels like we're starting to get the analysts who are coming out now and maybe cooling on Caleb, Michael Penix Jr., Drake May, Shador Sanders. You got to see Caleb Williams. Any concerns about him being the number one quarterback?
No. I still think he's the number one guy. His escapability is incredible. I mean, you think he's nailed back there, and he gets out and he moves on the run. The guy, he had a bad game. He had this USC had the game Notre Dame had against Louisville, right? They just did not play well enough to win. USC didn't, and Notre Dame's defense played extremely well because neither offense in this USC-Notre Dame game played well. It was Notre Dame's defense that was the story of this game. So, while Caleb had been playing better than last year when he won the Heisman, that's why I thought he could be the next back-to-back like Archie Griffin, though Penix has taken over the betting favorite, and certainly after this game he will. But, no, I'm not going to go on this one game and say, Caleb Williams isn't the number one pick in the draft.
Good to visit with you. My best to the family. Thank you again, Mike, for getting up with us.
You got it, Dan. Anytime, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Jared Goff joining us now, the Detroit Lions quarterback. All is well with you. You don't have to make up answers when you go to a press conference. So did you watch the game last night?
I watched the first half. Those games come on so late, when you're on the East Coast now. I watched the first half. I usually go to bed right after that.
What'd you think?
Tough game. Yeah, they're both good teams. And, yeah, it was tough. I think, you know, the world of Justin and Dak, and I think they both played well.
But do you watch the quarterback when he's going back to pass, or do you watch the defensive line or the rush going after the quarterback?
Good question. I'm typically watching the quarterbacks just to see what they do and, yeah, see how they're playing. But they both look great. I think they're both great players.
By the way, well, full intro here, Jared Goff, the former number one overall pick by the Rams, and the Lions winning against the Buccaneers. The Detroit fans are they're traveling there. It was great to see that. Man, you were taking a victory lap there, saying hello to those fans after the game. How great is it to have fans on the road for a change?
Yeah, it's really cool, man. It's really a lot of fun, and they've done that. Now we've had, you know, three road games, and all three have been night games. And, you know, kind of after those games, they've stuck around. We've won them, and it's been really fun to just give them some love and let them know we appreciate them. And yeah, it's a completely different environment when you have them there, and it changes everything.
The MVP campaign starts right now for you. All right, are you okay with that?
Sure. Yeah, I won't be doing much of it, but you can take care of that for me, Dan.
Okay. Last 16 games, Lions are 13-3. Jared Goff has completed almost 67% of his passes. He's thrown for 28 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. He's thrown for 4,100 yards. So this is the last 16 games going 13-3, and through 6 games this season, he is one of 2 quarterbacks ranked in the top 5 for passing yards, completion percentage, touchdowns, passer rating. The other one is Tua Tagovailoa, who, according to DraftKings, is the favorite for the MVP, followed by Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy. Why aren't you in the top 5?
Man, that's not for me to decide. I'm just going to try to keep playing well. I think the thing you see in common for all those guys you named is, you know, we're all on pretty good teams right now, and that's kind of when that attention starts to happen. And for us, you know, our defense is playing as well as they played. Our line's playing well, and I'm sitting back there making some throws. It's been fun. We've been playing well and winning some games and winning some tough ones on the road, like I mentioned. But long season still to go and a lot of work to do.
Lions will be at the Ravens coming up on Sunday. Did you ever get a chance to meet Joe Montana? I think you chose number 16 because of Joe.
Yeah, you know, actually, I met him for the first time like a couple of years ago at the airport, just randomly ran into him. And I'm like, I got to go say hi to him. You know, he was sitting by himself, and I was as well. I was by myself. I'm going to go say hi to him and talk to him briefly for 5 minutes. And yeah, that was why I was too young to watch him play growing up in the Bay Area. But when it was time to pick jersey numbers, I was, you know, 8 years old. And my dad's like, just do 16. That's Joe Montana. And I'm like, all right, you know, and became a huge Joe Montana fan after that. But yeah, huge fan of his. And yeah, the origin is from him wearing it, obviously, for the Niners.
So what'd you talk to Joe Montana about at the airport?
It was pretty brief. It was where are you going? What are you up to? It was during the off season. It was really brief, just high and by. And yeah, it was really cool to meet him.
Did you get a picture?
No, I did not ask for a picture. No.
Oh, come
maybe
on.
One day. Maybe one day.
Yeah, Joe's the nicest guy in the world. Just, you know, get a picture with
him. Yeah, he is. He was awesome, and he was super cool to me.
What's the story about your coach Dan Campbell you're going to tell your kids?
Oh, man. Geez. I don't know if I can pick one. I mean, he's done a lot of, you know, funny stuff. I think the $5 bill one is actually up there. That was pretty creative by him. I don't know if he had it.
Explain that one, though, to the audience if they're not aware of that.
Yeah, so after the game, he pulled out a $5 bill, and I was kind of, you know, a little befuddled by what he was saying. And then, you know, he goes, that's five. I'm like, oh, that's for 5 wins. Okay, got it. But I don't know if he had it in his pocket the whole game, if he had someone hand it to him after we won. I don't know, man, but he does fun stuff like that. He keeps it really fun, and at the same time is able to coach us hard. So it's a good combo, and he's a lot of fun to play for.
Does he have is it tough love with him?
Certainly, yeah. Yeah, I think he's as honest as a coach I've ever been around. He will shoot you straight always and let you know when he loves what you're doing, let you know when he thinks he can get more from you. So he's been great to me in that way, and has done it for everybody.
What happened, though? Quarterbacks seem to go through this. There's that welcome to the NFL moment, and then all of a sudden you see a quarterback, either he makes the next step or he doesn't, and it decides, you know, what his future is. So what – Was there something that clicked for you at a certain point where you go, okay, game slowed down, or I understand it better, or whatever, I process things better? What happens with quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it typically happens in that second year. You know, your rookie year, you're just trying to keep your head above water and find ways to, you know, throw completions and just, you know, not get hurt and stay on the field and, you know, just trying to figure things out. I think the second year for me, too, is when it kind of just light bulb goes off in some ways and you're able to understand coverage a little bit more. You're able to understand where the holes are in the defense and able to make a little bit more higher percentage decisions based on what you know. And that typically happens over that first offseason, and for me it was no different.
What was your welcome to the NFL moment?
You know, I got a couple, you know, probably, Richard Sherman hit me along the sideline that Thursday night game, my rookie year, took me out of the game there. I got hit my first start, I played the Dolphins, and that was when they had, Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake, and they kind of both like sandwiched me on one of my first sacks I ever took. Yeah, there's a couple, man. My first ever game, the preseason game, was Dallas at home. First game back in L.A., football game. It was a big deal. I was the first pick. I'm running out there after Keenum does the first few drives, and I'm running out there. I think my first third down, I got hit with a blitz I didn't even see coming and threw a pick and, you know, separated my left shoulder, and yeah, it was a mess. But I'm much past that now and don't like to think of those times, really.
Well, you see these young quarterbacks, and they still think, you know, in college I can hold on to the ball or I can make a play out of this. And I remember, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady telling me, hey, it's not there, it's not there, it's not going to be there, throw it away. How you have to kind of fight that urge of what maybe you did when you were in college as opposed to what you should be doing in the NFL, I'm going to guess.
Sure, yeah, I think that's a huge part of it, is knowing when the play is not there. There's so much preparation done during the week in an NFL week that if your prep's wrong and the play is not there, typically it's not there for a reason, and it's time to move on or get rid of it and not take the hit. And, yeah, that's something you learn as you get older. And you know, unfortunately, in today's day and age, these young guys don't get much patience from the media, from the fans. And yeah, it's unfortunate, but it takes time, dude. It takes time, and it takes a lot of hours and reps. And sure, I mean, I'm only in year eight, and I hope I can be looking back at right now and saying that I've learned a bunch more 5 years from now. So you're always learning, always trying to get better.
Well, good luck against the Ravens. Great to talk to you again, and we'll keep that campaign going for MVP.
All right, Dan. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray. Depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
I got the NFL Defensive Player of the Year odds, according to DraftKings. Micah Parsons is your favorite. Then it's T.J. Watt, Miles Garrett, Aiden Hutchinson, and Fred Warner. As we make the segue to T.J. Watt, who's already won that award. He has 8 sacks on the season, 85.5 sacks in his career. Just turned 29, I believe, last week. Good to have T.J. back on the show. If I said you could have 1 sack or 8 hurries in a game, what would you take?
I'll take the sack.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you had a good game if you have 1 sack, but 8 hurries, doesn't that mean that you probably had a better all-around game?
Yeah, but it depends. Is it a sack fumble? Is the sack demoralizing? You know, it all depends, but at the end of the day, I think we're all trying to get sacks.
Okay. You took your helmet off and got fined.
Yep. Not smart.
Okay, but you're not taunting, like you're just celebrating. But do you even get a chance to say anything, or is it just, hey, you got fined, they're going to take it out of your paycheck?
No, we're going to try to appeal it, and I think that's just kind of like you said. I wasn't trying to be malicious. I wasn't taunting at someone. It was fourth down. It was the end of the game. Took my helmet off. I understand there probably wasn't a whole lot of safety risk because the game was technically over at that point. But, I just have to be better, I guess.
Okay, but do you have your loophole here? Who's arguing your case?
It's me and then my agency. We handle it. We have lawyers in-house that have to go through a whole appeal process, Section 5, Article 4, Line 7, you know, all that stuff.
Have you been fined before?
Yes, I have. I've been fined a couple times. It's my 7th year. I've had a good amount of – I like to punch the football, so I've had a couple of those. I actually got one again this past week for punching the football and then a couple roughing the passers. So I've been through the process a few times.
Do they take it out of your paycheck, or do you have to write a check to the NFL home office?
No, they take it out, which makes it a little bit better because then you don't have to actually write the check right in front of you.
How would you assess this team so far and being in this division? I mean, it's a winnable division, but where do you guys stand sort of in the hierarchy with the AFC North?
Yeah, it's a tough division. It's always been a tough division since I've been here. I think we're happy to be 3-2, and we know we could be better, and we know that we haven't played nearly close to our best football yet, and it's still so early in the season, but the bye came at a good time. I feel like we're going to get some guys back, and we need to continue to string some wins back-to-back is crucial here, as Mike Tomlin always says.
Why is the Ravens matchup? I mean, it feels like that's the best rivalry in football right now.
It's just always so physical. When Coach T talks about that matchup, he always says, like, there's been rules made around this game when it comes to targeting and guys just big hits over the middle, blindside blocks. It's just always been so physical. And even though the game has changed dramatically over the last 10 or 20 years, we've tried, and I feel like we've done a good job in that rivalry of keeping it clean, but also just continuing to keep that aggression. And there is a form of hatred between Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and that's okay. I'm fine with it.
Explain to me the punching of the football, because I've seen where Max Crosby punches the quarterback's arm. Is the NFL allowing you to punch as long as you hit the ball?
It's hard because the ball is always close to the face mask. So it's like, we're never trying to punch the actual face mask because A, that would hurt our hand, and B, we know it's a penalty. But we're always trying to punch at the football. But what people don't realize, or some people don't realize, is that when a quarterback has the ball, or a running back, the moment from here to here or here to here is a split second. So when I'm winding up to go at the football, it could be gone by the time that I move. So it's hard to anticipate exactly where the football is going to be. And I think that's where you get those spots where you're hitting a guy where you're not intentionally trying to.
You ever apologize to a player you hit?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's some times where your emotion gets the best of you, and after a play, you kind of pop the guy in the chin strap. And they go, sorry. Let me calm down here for a second. My bad. We still have to go a full game. I don't want to get a cheap shot back my way.
Has anybody apologized to you after hitting you?
Oh, for sure. I think at the end of the day, I mean, we never want to be malicious. I mean, never want to be disrespectful on the football field. I think both sides do a good job, offense, defensive. If someone does something that they didn't intend to do or that was a little dirty, they're most likely going to apologize. And if they don't, that's where the problems ensue.
Why isn't roughing the passer reviewable?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's hard. We do everything we possibly can. And I was talking to the refs the other week that, you know, when you go to tackle the quarterback, I'm rotating as hard as I can. I'm taking the hit because the quarterback's landing on top of me. But it's just the life that we live, and we have to adapt as much as possible because those penalties are massive game-changing penalties, and they're 15 yards in the first down.
Yeah, but they should review them. If we review basically every play, TJ, when you think about it, there's time to review because that's what the broadcasters do, that if you have the New York office look at these plays and then say, hey, you know what, that hit wasn't to the face, or – you know, as you said, these are game-changing, you know, type of plays here. And it feels like, I know they're trying to protect the quarterback, but, you know, you got to help out the defense just a little bit here. And no rules are to benefit the defense. When's the last time you had a rule that benefited the defense?
Offensive holding helps me from time to time, which is nice. But, yeah, it's one of those things that's obviously way above my pay grade. We just try to adapt to the rules that are in place and try to play as clean and smart as possible.
Okay, why are they letting the tackles line up a little bit further back off the line against you guys?
that's something we're tackling too, and the refs are getting better at it. The thing is that if a tackle lines up a little deeper, they're going to be more lenient on letting us take that credit card alignment or getting as close to the line of scrimmage as possible. So it's kind of an in-game thing. Hopefully, if he's lining up a little deeper, they're not giving him that two clicks of the remote head start, that whatever they call it.
It feels like it's an advantage because the offensive linemen haven't kept up athletically with the edge rushers. So they're almost – they're
giving, calling shots.
Yes, I am. Absolutely. Here's another thing that they're calling offensive linemen downfield, like these bubble screens. It feels like these linemen get out there. But they are calling that, it feels like, a little bit more. It seems like a point of emphasis here.
Yeah, I mean – I mean, I would like to think they're trying to call everything, and I understand there's a whole lot going on, and I don't know if you have enough bodies to really see everything. I mean, like we always say, you could call a holding on every single play. It's just a matter of what they're able to see and what's not going to slow the game down.
But what if I said offensive linemen have to wear mittens?
Where they incredible.
That they can't hold you.
It would be awesome. I think you'd see a lot more pass rush wins across the league.
Now that JJ's retired, is he getting a little doughy?
No, he's not.
He hadn't let himself
jacked.
Go?
No. That's the thing is, like, he'll send a meal of, like, a big cheap meal of pancakes and waffles and everything, and then later in the day, he's like, all I can eat is fruit and, like, grilled chicken breasts. I'm like, why? I mean, there's no point. You don't have a game tomorrow. Like, just indulge, man. Enjoy it for a couple months. But he likes staying in shape.
Did you ask him to join the Steelers?
No. I mean, that's not one of those things. It's way above my pay grade. I don't have any say in who we bring in.
Well, you could. Did you ask him if he wanted to play?
I didn't drop it in the suggestion box. No, I never blatantly asked Jage if he wanted to come and play. I think his career took its course, and my career is on my course, and they never were able to meet.
His son looks like he's 6 years old.
He's massive.
He's
massive.
I would be – somebody's going to give him a scholarship here soon.
I know they're coming out here in a couple weeks, and I hope he's saving his first steps when he comes out here. It's funny, JD always sends videos of him like pushing suitcases and calling them prowler pushes, and he's in training already.
All right, let's play the max bench press for TJ. So one rep.
Max bench press.
Yeah, hold on now. All right, so max bench press, one rep, best ever.
Oh, ever?
Ever. Now, I'm not saying now. I'm saying ever for TJ. Todd, I'm going to start with you.
430.
430.
Jeez.
Seton.
415.
All right. Marvin?
One rep, 525.
Oh, damn. Oh, my God.
This is TJ here, not JJ.
Yeah. Paulie?
I'm going to go one rep, 465.
I'm going to go one rep, 385.
I think it was 425 at one point.
Okay.
But we don't touch that anymore. It's no point in risking it these days.
Who's the strongest guy you ever been around?
Oh, James Harrison.
The
guy's throwing weights around like crazy.
He still is.
He still is. It's incredible. The guy doesn't age, it seems like.
He could probably use him for a couple of plays. Man, he is one big dude. Hey, congratulations. Where is the Defensive Player of the Year trophy?
Back home in Wisconsin. Yep. Keep it back home.
So if I walk into your place in Pittsburgh, do I have any idea you play football?
No, not unless you go in the office. I don't like to have stuff all over the house.
Yeah. But you could have like a statue out front or something like that. That would be, JJ has a statue out front of his place.
Yeah, if he did, he'd hear about it for sure. That would not be acceptable.
Hey, great to talk to you. Congrats. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. See you guys.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The brilliant EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz, available with digital light technology. So smart, even the headlamps are thinking. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQE-SUV.